to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, as I said this morning, we began a new series looking at the life of Jacob, and I'm going to do something I've never done before. We're going to look at it morning and evening over the next number of weeks. We began this morning with the birth of Jacob and Esau, and tonight we're coming to this famous incident in the life of Jacob and Esau, when indeed Jacob diddles his brother out of the birthright. And of course, in the evenings we're going to have a gospel emphasis, and in the morning's ministry, but of course we're not tied to that. There'll be a mixture here and there. Jacob's a wonderful character. He's the man that went to bed one night and woke up in the morning and realized he had married the wrong woman, and so he had a bit of an experience or two. And we're going to try and learn from Jacob, learn from his mistakes, and yet we want also to learn from the things that he did in his life that were God glorifying. A wonderful character, and I believe all of us will see something of ourselves in the life of Jacob. Genesis 25 and verse number 27. Genesis 25 and verse number 27. And the boys, that of course is Jacob and Esau, grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired words to our hearts this evening. A number of weeks ago, one of the biggest sporting contests in the world is the Super Bowl. I don't know much about it. I could never see the attraction in American football, one way or another, where the Seattle Seahawks took on the Denver Broncos. I don't know who won. I'm sure some of you this evening may know who was the victor. I do know it was watched by 111 million people in the United States. Over 60 to 70% at any one time of the population of the United States could have been watching the Super Bowl. If you wanted to advertise your goods, for a 30-second slot would cost you $4 million during the Super Bowl. It's one of the most expensive slots that you can find, if not the most expensive in the world. Tonight we're going to look at someone, and they really sold everything for a Super Bowl that turned out to be nothing. This bowl of lentils, this bowl of soup or pottage, whatever you want to call it, they give everything for this bowl, and it turned out not to be a very super bowl at all. I was reading recently in Wikipedia about Henry Grattan Guinness. He was a great man of God. Wikipedia says he was a great evangelist of the evangelical awakening and preached during the Ulster Revival of 1859, which drew thousands to hear him. He was responsible for training and sending hundreds of faith missionaries all over the world. Henry Grattan Guinness said this, "I do now most heartily desire to live but to exalt Jesus, to live preaching and to die preaching, to preach to perishing sinners till I drop down dead." What a great man of God he was. And what a blessing to society Henry Grattan Guinness was. Grandson of Arthur Guinness, the founder of the brewery. Here you have two members of the same family. One is a blessing to society and one's a curse to society. And yet they're from the same family. We could go through Scripture and we could find the same incidents in Scripture. And here we have one tonight. We have two boys growing up in the same home, have the same parents, actually born at the same time. They had the blessing of a mother and a father who both prayed. We noticed that this morning. They had a grandfather called Isaac and a great-grandfather called Abraham. What a blessing. What a blessing to have such an upbringing. One followed the Lord and one rejected the Lord. How sad when that happens in a family. And we could have it in families tonight. We could have husbands saved and wives not. We could have wives saved and husbands not. We could have parents saved and children not. You could have brothers and sisters, they're saved, but you're not tonight. And very often when we sing that hymn, it always touches a chord in my own heart because of my own family. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Will your family circle be broken? Will there be some who will be in heaven for all eternity? And some who will be in hell for all eternity. Because that's what happened in this family. And tonight, if you're in a family, in a situation, and you've got saved friends and saved relatives and saved ones in the family, listen, it could happen to you tonight. If it can happen in the family of Isaac and the grandchildren of Abraham, do you think it couldn't happen to you tonight? Do you think that you couldn't go on in your sin and die without Christ and go to hell in spite of having people in your family who are saved by the grace of God? You know, we could preach from this passage in many ways this evening. We could preach to believers and minister from it. We can see something absent in verse 27. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man. It says the boys grew, but it doesn't say anything about growing spiritually. You know, when you read about Samuel, it says he grew before the Lord. When you read about John the Baptist, he grew and waxed strong in spirit. Here are our boys growing up and seem to have no time for the Lord. What about you tonight? Is that how you've spent your life? You really haven't considered these things. You see something absent. You see something amiss in verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Here's something you should never have in a family. Favoritism. You have dad, he likes Esau. And you have mum, she favours Jacob. And you know it's going to cause trouble. Later on in Jacob's life, he favours his son Joseph. And it causes trouble. Where did he learn it at? He learned it at home. He was taught it at home. And listen, what you and I do with our children will have an impact on our children. And there should never be favouritism in a home. You see something absent, no mention of their spiritual growth. You see something amiss. You see something to avoid in verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Why did he love Esau? Because he gave him something that satisfied the flesh. And we preached on this morning, the old nature, the old flesh. And you know, if we love something because it satisfies the flesh, we need to be careful as believers. You see something awful here as well, and I'm just throwing this out for you to think about this evening in verse 29. When you look at Jacob, Jacob sawed pottage and Esau came from the field and he was faint. Here's a man and he's desperate, and Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Because therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright be to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. You know, you see in Jacob, there's no pity here. He's willing to make something out of others' misfortunes. You see no pity here at all. This is something that you wouldn't want to find in the child of God. How different to Christ. He looked upon our misfortune. And though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see how he demanded a high price for what he had to offer? And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't demand a high price, he paid a high price. He paid it in his own precious blood. You see how Jacob applies real pressure here? He really pressurizes Esau to sell his birthright, and he pushes him into it, and it's high pressure. You know, the Lord doesn't pressurize you to get saved. He shouldn't have to tonight. You know, when you think of him on the cross, he just says, "Come. Come." He's not going to force you tonight to trust him. He's not going to take your arm and twist it up your back. Listen, he came from heaven and died for you. And he poured out his precious blood that you might be saved. Do you want to make him a beggar as well? He's inviting you to come tonight. He's inviting you to come and trust him tonight. Oh, we could talk about something absent and something amiss and something to avoid and something awful. But you know, tonight I I want us to think about Esau this evening as we think of our gospel meeting. And I want you to think of his privilege here. Look at verse 24. When her days, this is Rebekah's, to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over in hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Here are two boys born in the same family, and we read about the birth of Esau. And then we read in verse 26, after that came out his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. The first one, Esau, was a red man. He was hairy. The second one is called Jacob. The name Jacob means a heel snatcher or a schemer. The Hebrew word aqua, where Jacob comes from, actually means heel. The idea is tripping up. He caught his brother by the heel. He was trying to trip him up. And of course, the name Jacob is synonymous with scheming and deceit and trying to trip people up. We'll notice in our studies his name's changed. God says, no more Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. You're going to be a prince with God. And so his life's going to be changed, but that's going to come later on. Verse 27 says, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. These two boys are different. And you know, if you have got children this evening, you know, their wee personalities are so different, aren't they? You know, Esau was an outdoor person. He's a man who liked to go into the field. He liked to hunt. He was a hunter. He would like to kill something. But Jacob was different. He was a quieter person. He liked the indoors. He liked to be at home. Indeed, he seemed to be fond of cooking. Esau, if you like, would catch it and kill it. And Jacob would cook it and serve it. These two boys are as different as chalk and cheese. But then that's what we find in all our children. You have all the different personalities, and some of them are all behave in different ways. But you know, they're both born in the same family. And they're just like your family, and they're just like my family. And I'm sure you've got brothers and sisters, and they're different than you, and they've some traits that you don't have in you. And your children, I'm sure they're different this evening. But you know, they came from the same home, and one would be a man of God, and the other would reject the Lord. I often think of the two thieves in the cross. I'm sure those two boys were best buddies. You know, I think they'd grown up together. They maybe worked together at a time. They thieved together. They partied together. And there they are hanging on the crosses, and they're dying together. But one of them sees sense, and the other has no sense. And one, the Lord says, today they're going to be with me in paradise. The other continued to mock the Lord and was lost for all eternity. No two children are alike. Sure they're not. But these two boys had all the privileges. I want you to turn to Acts 13 just for a moment. I don't often do this, but I want you to see what I would describe as possibly the best church in the Word of God. And this is a church called Antioch. And I want you to see some of those who were in leadership in the church at Antioch, just for a moment, and you'll see why I'm doing this in a few seconds. Remember, we're thinking of a family, we're thinking of the privileges, and you have two boys in the same family. One's going to go to heaven and one's going to go to hell. You have the two thieves on the cross. One goes to heaven, the other goes to hell. You have the two sections of the Guinness family, one a blessing for God, the other a curse to society and used of the devil to ruin homes and ruin lives, and yet all from the same family. Look at Acts 13 verse 1. I want you to see some of the men that's in this church. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And then we have five of them named here. It begins with Barnabas. Now Barnabas was a rich man. He was a landowner. I know he gave it up and he gave a lot of money to the work of the Lord. But you know, he was a rich man. And a good church makes no difference between rich or poor. And you know, Barnabas is known as an encourager, and churches need encouragers, and thank God for them. But there's not only Barnabas, there's another man, and he's called Simeon. And it's believed that Simeon, that was called Niger, was a black man. And this shows that this church was open to everyone. There was no difference made among any. Indeed, some believe he was Simon the Cyrenian, who carried the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in this church. So you have Barnabas and you've got Simeon. And then you've got Lucius of Cyrene. That's a Gentile name. Here are a church with Jews in it, but here's a Gentile in the middle of it. It didn't make any difference. Isn't this a good church? You've got encouragers, you've got a black man, you've got a man who's a Gentile, but it doesn't make any difference. They're all saved, they're all the one in Christ. And then, of course, there's Saul, who would later on be called Paul. What a mighty man of God he turned out to be. Imagine being in a church where Paul is in leadership in the church. You couldn't help be blessed. Even if you didn't want to be blessed, you couldn't help it being in a church like this. But I left the man out, and this man is called Manaen. And you read of him again in verse number 1. It says, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Tetrarch is the one who had John the Baptist beheaded. And it's believed that this was a foster brother. The word brought up with can be actually translated a foster brother. Here is a brother of Herod the Tetrarch. Herod was a wicked, bloodthirsty, murdering man who chopped the head of John the Baptist. And here's his brother. And he's in leadership in the church. Two men, same home, same family. One who became the king in the palace and died without Christ. The other who's serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Which are you like tonight? You see your little family tonight? Thank God for a saved mum and a saved dad. Thank God for a saved wife or a saved husband. Thank God if you've got saved brothers and saved sisters. Praise the Lord for it. But listen, you could still go to hell. Their salvation won't take you to heaven. You see the privileges that Esau had. Let me say something secondly about the pottage. Look at verse 29. We're back in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25 and we're at verse 29. And as I think of the pottage, I want to talk about the day first of all. This day began like any other day. Jacob was cooking and Esau was hunting. But look at verse 29. Jacob saw pottage and Esau came from the field and he was faint. You know, it was any other day. As I say, these two boys are doing what they like to do. But before the day is over, Esau will have sealed his eternal destiny. And that's a terrifying thought. That before tonight's over, you could have sealed your eternal destiny. You could have settled it for heaven, or you could have settled it for hell. That's how serious it is tonight. Esau, it was just like any other day. He had been out hunting. It obviously hadn't been a good day hunting. He came home without any game. He's absolutely starving with hunger. And even though he didn't care much for his brother, he didn't seem to like Jacob. His brother was a great cook. He could smell the cooking. And he was so hungry. He wanted something to satisfy this hunger. You see, out in the world, there's no satisfaction. There's no real peace. There's no real enjoyment. There's nothing that you can take to heaven with you. And Esau had been out in the world and he comes home. And he's still desperate for something. You see, this day was going to be like no other day. You see the desire in verse 30. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't happy. That you'll notice in your Bible, the word pottage is in italics. He just wants some of that red. That's why they're called Edomites, his ancestors. And Edom really means red. It's similar again to Adam. Red. He's an unsatisfied sinner. You see the day? It was going to be like no other day. You see the desire? And you see the deal in verse 31. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Here's the pressure coming from Jacob. The birthright was the eldest son's right. It involved three things, to put it simply. It involved family property. When the father would die, he would get the biggest share of the property. It involved the family priesthood. He would be the one who would be responsible to offer sacrifices for his family. He would be the one who would be the leader in the family and would be expected to pray for the family, just like a father today. It involved property. It involved the priesthood. It involved progenitorship. Now, that's the key. Because this family was linked to the Messiah. Remember, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through their family would come the Messiah. And so whoever had the blessing would be linked to the Messiah, would be linked to Jesus Christ. And this was key. He was going to throw away his opportunity to be linked to Christ. And that's what you do tonight if you reject the Savior. You have an opportunity to be linked to Christ, to become one in Christ, to become part of the body of Christ. You see the day, just like any other day, but it wasn't. You see the desire? He hadn't found satisfaction. You see the deal? Here's the offer on the table. Give up any hope of Christ. Give up any hope of having any link to Christ. And then you see the decision in verse 32 and 33. Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. I want you to see a number of things in this decision. I want you to see exaggeration. He says, "I'm at the point to die." He had went one day without hunger, probably only an afternoon. I'm told the human body can survive at least 40 days without food. That's an exaggeration. You know, the devil exaggerates things. The devil says you can't do without it. You couldn't face your friends. You couldn't face your family. You couldn't face anyone and tell them you're saved. And whatever it is that's keeping you, he tells you you can't survive without it. Some friend, some pleasure, some sinful habit. And he tells you a lie from hell. You can't make it without it. And Esau's exaggerating. He says, "I'm going to die." He wasn't going to die at all. You see the exaggeration. And then you see the question in verse 32. Esau said, Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright be to me? What a question to ask. It's like saying, what profit is being born again to me? What profit is Jesus Christ to me? I'll tell you what profit. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have life. And we have it more abundantly. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have something that's kept for us. Remember, we looked at it in 1 Peter. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's kept for you. And listen, you're kept for it because we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What profit? What profit is Christ tonight? Your sins are gone. You've got a home in heaven. You've got peace with God. You've got a friend who'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you have a thousand more things besides. He said, what good's this to me? Here's something that I want, and I want it now. You know, we can turn that question around. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see the deal? You see the exaggeration? You see the question? And then we see the damnation, verse 32. Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright be to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright. What a terrible deal. What a lousy deal. What a horrible bargain. Just for pottage. Esau rejected the blessings of Christ. And that was him finished. You see the day, you see the desire, you see the deal, you see the decision. And then you see the direction. Look at verse 34 at the end of it. It says he went his way. Now is that what you're going to do tonight? You come into the meeting tonight. You're out of Christ. Just like when Paul preached to Agrippa, and Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me a Christian," but he didn't get saved. And it says after that when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and he went away just the same way he came in. Esau just went away. He had sold his birthright. The Hebrew writer tells us here that he despised his birthright. It means to count it as useless. The most valuable thing he had, he counted it as useless. The most valuable thing you have tonight is your soul. And if you sell it tonight and refuse to get saved, you're just treating it like useless. The Hebrew writer described him as a profane man. Hebrews 12 verse 16, lest there be any fornicator, he's talking about spiritual fornication, or profane person. That word profane means outside the temple. It means outside the Lord. He lived his life without the Lord. And he died without the Lord. You know what he did? He thought about today, but he didn't care about tomorrow. He thought about the temporal, his need now. He forgot about the eternal. He thought about the material, but he neglected the spiritual. He sought not for heaven, and he ignored hell. And for one morsel of meat, that's how the Hebrew writer puts it, he sold his birthright. He gave up his inheritance. You've got an inheritance in heaven if you trust the Lord this evening. He could have been a man who prayed for his family. He could have been a man who directed his family and was the priest for his family. Instead, he neglected his family. And his family went to hell. He turned his back on the blessings that he could have had from Christ. All for one morsel of meat. What are you selling the Lord for tonight? Why are you not saved tonight? For some it's a moment's lust. For some it's a monetary loot. For some it's a material load. For some it's a manly loot. They can't face their friends. They couldn't face the people and tell them that they're saved. And they're afraid of what someone might think. And for all of these things that are worth absolutely nothing, they could find themselves in hell. How sad tonight. Let me say what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12 verse 17. And again he's speaking about Esau. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There came a point when he realized what he had done. And the tears are flowing. But he couldn't bring himself to repent. He couldn't bring himself to that point when he would confess his sin. And maybe tonight that's why you're not saved. You can't bring yourself to that point where you acknowledge you're a sinner. And if you're ever going to be saved, the Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And unless you can bring yourself to that point where you acknowledge your sin and repent of your sin and accept Christ by faith as your Savior on the merits of the shed blood, on the merits of what he accomplished at Calvary, you'll never be saved. You see the privileges, you see the pottage, you see the profane. And Esau threw it all away and was lost and lost in hell for all eternity. I was reading on the internet just the other day about a lady. She's called Karen. I can't remember her surname, but she was getting buried in a coffin, and this coffin had the Costa, you know, the coffee chain. It had the Costa brand on the side of the coffin and the Costa colours. And that's all she had. That's all she had. Humphrey Bogart, when he died, one of his wives, Lauren Bacall, had been involved in a film with him back in 1944. A famous line from the film concerned a whistle, and she said to him in the film, if you need anything, just whistle. And so she took the whistle and she put it into the coffin of Humphrey Bogart. And it said on the little whistle in the coffin, if you need anything, just whistle. Imagine facing the Lord with nothing but a whistle in your hand. Imagine having nothing but a coffin with a coffee chain logo on the side of it. Imagine that's all you have. And I've got a picture in my mind of Esau. And I can see Esau and he's standing with an empty bowl in his hands. And he's had the pottage. And now it's just an empty bowl. And I can see him just going down into hell, clasping onto an empty bowl. And maybe tonight you could go to hell with an empty beard, lass. An empty life. Empty religion. Empty hope. Empty promises. I'll get saved someday. And you're just going into hell clasping something that's empty. And you might as well have Humphrey Bogart's whistle with you. Thank God it doesn't have to be like that. Jesus Christ left the glories and splendors of heaven. He came to the cross. He paid redemption's price in full when he died on that cross, and when he rose again, God said amen to all that Christ had accomplished. God says, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with my Son. And tonight, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God says, I'm satisfied with you. And you become accepted in the Beloved. Esau, I can see him going to hell with his hands clasping an empty bowl. What is it that's so valuable to you? You're willing to go to hell for it. Don't go to hell clutching an empty bowl. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these moments of quietness. Lord, Esau discovered it wasn't a Super Bowl. It became an empty bowl. And Lord, for him it was too late. Thank you, Lord, that we're still in the day of grace. There's opportunity for people, young people and older people tonight, to get saved. Lord, one of the most heartbreaking things is to stand at a grave and to see a family divided that shall never be united. And God forbid, Lord, it would ever happen to family in this place tonight. May that circle never be unbroken. May that circle be united in earth in Christ. And we know for sure one day they'll be united in glory in Christ. Lord, if there's someone here tonight and you've been speaking to them, Lord, give them the courage, give them the grace just to stand up and be counted tonight. And not to be an Esau tonight. And to throw away the most precious thing they have, their never dying soul. Lord, grant salvation blessing tonight. Grant the saving grace tonight. And Lord, we'll give thee the praise, the honour and the glory. For we do ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing a hymn that we sing very often here at our gospel meeting. 302, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. 302, and we'll stand and sing together. Thank you. Thank you. we thank you even for this hymn of invitation. And Lord, we thank you it goes out to every soul tonight that's outside of Christ. We pray, Lord, there'll be those tonight who will hear and respond positively. And Lord, make this the greatest day of their lives. God forbid that anyone would end up like Esau and make it the worst day of his life, a day from which he would never recover. Lord, speak to hearts this evening. Save a soul or souls in this meeting. Part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing, and grant us all homeward journeying mercies, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.